The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to The Brightside, and issue 53 is part of our ongoing countdown to Rise of Skywalker. And somewhere in there, there's a new sounder, thanks to the inspiration from TJ and Martin. So see if you can pick that out. And also stay tuned at the end, because as we've said before, we go unscripted, and right in the middle, as things happen, we get sidetracked. So I actually took it out of the middle of the conversation, but I thought it was pretty good, so I included it at the end. So stay tuned at the end, and there's a little bit more, you know, typical comic book store talk. So let's head into the comic book store. Johnny Boombots, what's shaking?
Oh my god. I don't know, DJ. I have a bad feeling about this.
What? It's issue 53. We're in the new year. It's official. We're on to the new year. I got to come in with something new.
All right. Well, I don't know if that's it, but we'll keep throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks.
That one didn't stick, huh?
I don't think
so. No. Yeah, I don't. Johnny Boombots, not cool?
No, I don't know.
All right, we'll try again next week. Yeah. I got you to giggle.
Definitely got the Italian thing going, but I don't know if that's it.
The Irish in me really kills the Italian vibe.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. How you been?
I've been fantastic. How about you?
I've been doing good. Very excited for this episode for a different reason. We'll get into that when we start talking Jedi. But hey, if people are listening to, what's the cutoff? Noontime or something like that for FOC?
It's really like 10 p.m., but I do mine fairly early in the day.
Okay.
So I like to have my orders in by noon so I can get them done by 1 or 2 in the afternoon.
Okay. Cause I've heard different stores say different
but
things.
But yeah, it's actually 10 p.m.
for the
on
store,
Mondays
right?
For Diamond, that's their cutoff. Every store probably has a little bit different timetable for when they do their FOC, but
right.
I like to have them in by noon.
Didn't you do yours at my kitchen table at like 6 o'clock at
I
night
did.
Up here? Something like that?
I think I did it in the morning, but,
Was
or
that?
In the afternoon.
Maybe.
But yeah, I did it. Yeah. Cause you know, it's just a website.
Yeah.
So you could do it.
No,
remotely.
I know.
But, no, I know I,
hey,
I'm sure I did
that. Hey, don't take that away
from
me. That was me behind the scenes. You're at my kitchen table, but it was me behind the scenes.
But I would have done it before my store opened because I need to access my POS. So it would have been in the morning sometime before the store opened. But yeah, I did it. You can do it from any. I can do it from anywhere. So
yeah. So anyways, I just.
But yeah, in that week I had it done by 9 o'clock in the morning. So, and then I'm not going back to it again for the rest of the day.
But
so.
Now if so, let me ask you this then: once you put it in, you're not done. Mm-hmm. You can add, right?
You could still audit. Yeah, I could do FOC 17 times on Monday if I wanted to.
All right. So.
But whatever's in there at 10 o'clock, their cutoff, that's what your final number is going to be.
Okay.
So yeah, if something changed, I could go back and,
all right.
and modify it.
Great
again
information.
If I had to.
That's, yeah. cause that's what I was wondering. Cause some stores were like, get it to me by noontime. But it's like, so the reason I bring it up is because that book we talked about last week, Black Stars Above.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Interesting.
Yeah.
Exactly like you said. And like you said last week after reading it, I don't know if it's like, I'm not going to say it's like, you must read this. It's a must read, but it's definitely interesting. And at the very least, what you should do is ask your store if they're getting it. Because as you said last week, this isn't going to be a book that's like going to be like, you know,
yeah, it's not Marvel or DC. Yeah. It's not Marvel or DC. You know,
they might
Vault
not even
comics.
Get it.
Right.
They might not even get it. So at
I might not have even got it. Like, I probably didn't have any of them coming until I read the preview.
Right.
So.
So, at the very least, ask your store if they're getting it. And then, you know, maybe if, you know, see if they'll get it for you. And you have until, as you said, 10 p.m. tonight. So, hopefully that helps you, anybody out if they're interested in the book. But.
Yeah.
But yeah. And you had a chance to go back and look and see it isn't in black and white?
I did.
Okay, cool.
Yes. We went over this.
I know.
I had it confused in my head with another book.
I know.
But
you've read more than one book. I get it.
I know. Believe me. Hell, I've read about a dozen since then. So
I know.
I can't even remember this
well,
one now.
You know what's funny? You say that. It's like how many times have I said this in the past year? John, we've been doing this over a year now.
Right.
How many times this is not my genre, but it's the Vampirella. I'm loving this story.
It's really good.
It's, I didn't read it years ago. I kind of ogled it, but it's like reading the story. It's just, it's a lot of fun. It's just,
yeah, I never read a lot of Vampirella either, you know, and being that she wasn't with like the main, you know, she's not a Marvel or DC character.
Right.
So it's not like she even crossed over into comic books that I was reading. So yeah. I had no real, familiarity with the character either, except like you said, you know, as a young boy reading comics, she was 3/4 naked.
Yeah, exactly.
All her covers. So, you know, so I liked her for that reason, but yeah, it's a really fun series. And you know, I have enjoyed it so far. And I like the Vampirella Red Sonja series too, that's going on right now. That one's been pretty good as well.
Yeah. When was the last time that came out? I don't remember that.
Oh, well, the last issue was like 2 weeks
ago. 2 weeks
ago,
yeah.
That's
a good
recent
one. You know what? We said this last week, how stuff drops off the radar, and I'm still reading it. We haven't talked about it though. The Absolute Carnage.
Oh yeah, we haven't talked about, well, we're not doing it like we did War of the Realms. Like, we haven't had these weekly updates.
Right. Well, X-Men kind of, and luckily it's another Marvel entity, so it's
yeah,
not
the
really
X-Men
kind of
took over.
But
I tell you, you know what? Absolute Carnage really cheeses me off, to be honest with you, because like last week, maybe, I don't even know if we had an Absolute Carnage book that came out last week.
We did.
And then like,
today.
No.
Yeah,
well, that's
okay,
this week,
the week before. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the week before. But like last week / this week, we have like 17 Absolute Carnage books that came out.
Right, right.
So I said, can we pace this out a little bit? You know,
it's
their schedule is whacked. You know, it's not very well thought out.
Yeah.
So,
and the Once in Future.
Yeah, I still haven't read number 3 yet.
Okay.
But the first two, you know, like I said, I really enjoyed
so
that
strong
series a lot.
So good.
Yeah.
It's I mean, Boom's really.
Yeah, they're knocking it out of the park with their books lately.
Yeah. Because
again, Something Is Killing the Children has been very good also.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've got a lot of good stuff happening.
Yeah. Let's see. That's about it, right? You want to get right into it?
Yeah. We'll
Do you want to go right spoiler free for a little bit on Jedi?
Sure, let's do that, DJ.
I don't want to ruin anything.
This one's only 33 years old or whatever it is, so let's keep the illusion
known,
going for a little
this
while.
Known
yeah.
Film.
Right.
All right, let's get into Star Wars episode, what is it? Episode 6.
Return of the Jedi.
Return to a galaxy far, far away.
Ready, everybody? Chewie, see what this piece of junk can do.
Here we go again.
You will bring Captain Solo and the Wookiee to me.
Return to heroic adventure.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Return to the ultimate confrontation.
Exciting is hardly the word I would choose.
But most of all, return for the fun of it. Return of the Jedi.
Revenge of the Jedi. Dun, dun, dun.
That was going to be in spoilers.
Oh, was it?
All right.
Sorry.
That's okay.
You can cut that out.
No.
Edit that in post.
All right. Where do you want to start? Do you want to?
Well, let's just jump right in with that because I let the cat out of the bag already.
That the Revenge of the Jedi story?
Yeah. So the original title of this was Revenge of the Jedi. you know, George decided that, you know, a Jedi wouldn't be out for revenge.
Right.
So that title really wasn't going to work. But I thought that was interesting because, you know, for well into its production to the point where we had marketing materials yep. that went out to the market, posters and all kinds of things advertising it as Revenge of the Jedi. So it made it basically the entire time they were filming the movie, it was Revenge of the Jedi. Everybody thought that's what they were filming.
Yeah.
Until, I guess till it came out or, shortly before it came out.
Revenge of the Jedi. Coming next summer to a theater in your galaxy.
But yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say it's a little known fact, because if you're into Star Wars, most people know that. But
right.
I'm sure there's a segment of people that, you know, have never heard that or didn't know that. So that's pretty cool. And yeah, any material that says Revenge of the Jedi is highly collectible. So
yeah. All right. Is that all we got?
Well, yeah, I mean, I just thought, you know, since I said it, I mean, it's not like it was, I'm not saying this was a thrilling story that, you know, was going to take us through the entire podcast. I just thought it was an interesting bit of trivia to start the show with.
Coming so, in hot.
Yeah. So, you know. Thing is, with the magic of editing, you could have taken that pause right out, but now we've talked about it.
No,
so
no, I'll take all of this conversation out.
We're going to take all of this out, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then I don't know why I'm continuing to talk like I'm doing the show if you're taking it all out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, why would I even bother? You don't listen to yourself anyways. I take stuff out, and you're like, I don't remember saying that.
Yeah.
All right, so now that we've gotten that little tidbit of information out of the way...
A little bit of trivia.
1983. We're 13 yep. years old.
Yep.
After watching this again, I watched it again today. Oh, man.
You only knew the power of the dark side.
I really could have done without the Ewoks.
Yeah.
And
yeah, well.
It's funny. It's like watching it again today. I actually dislike this movie, dislike the Ewok part of this movie more than I dislike Jar Jar. Because I feel like watching this again, they're more of the movie than Jar Jar ever was in anything. Because he's one character that he's very easy to just bypass. He'll have a few lines here, but those Ewoks and that everything they did, it was like a Three Stooges act in the background when they were battling and stuff and they're hitting themselves off the head with their own weapons and they're, I mean, you had that one sad scene where an Ewok gets hurt and the other one's trying to wake him up and you're like,
right.
But other than that, it's like the entire thing. I remember and the reason I prefaced it with in 1983, you and I are 13 years old. You're 13. You think you're an adult. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you think you're too old. And I look at 13-year-olds now, and I'm like, you are an Ewok.
Yeah, well.
But you know what I mean? But when you're 13, you think you're this old person, and it's like you're too old for that. And the depth of the movie other than the Ewoks is really what carried it for me. And still
yeah, well,
does. But it
I was gonna
really
say that
bothered me.
Because, yeah, this movie hit at a strange time for us, you know, being 13 years
puberty?
Old. Because, well, yeah, but, like, I was still very much into Star Wars at mm-hmm. 13. But I was now out of the playing with toys phase of it, and I wasn't collecting the action figures as much anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because at 13, you know, we were too old for that stuff. This movie didn't have the same impact on me that the first two did. Because, you know, like, again, we were hitting that strange age where we were getting too old for this kind of stuff, you know?
Right.
And yeah, I don't know. Like, looking back at, as a 13-year-old, I don't know if the Ewoks bothered me all that much as they do now. But yeah, they would have always been the worst. Definitely the worst part of the I don't know if they're the worst part of the franchise, but they were the worst part of that movie. But again, another bit of trivia, and I'm sure you probably know this as well, but they were originally supposed to be Wookiees.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, that whole thing was supposed to take place. Well, I would have too. But, you know, again, you know, kids, you know, target audience. Like, you know, right. George felt like that the Ewoks were going to resonate with the kids
right.
a lot more than a bunch of Wookiees were going to. And also, probably easier to find a bunch of kids and little people to play Ewoks than it would be to find a couple of basketball teams to come and play a bunch of Wookiees.
Right.
You know? So, special effects-wise, it probably made a little bit of sense, too.
Yeah, but yeah. A lot less fur and costumes.
Right. But the original draft is, you know, this was supposed to take place on Kashyyyk, and they were supposed to be Wookiees and,
yeah.
you know, all of that good stuff. And,
the
you know,
one,
again, it was really marketing more than anything that changed that, so.
The one flaw I found in, that I would have thought that if they were Wookiees, is how would the Empire have built that station if the Wookiees were occupying that area? Because if you see what happened there now, like in Jedi, so the Ewoks are in, they're living in that area, but they're a passive people. So right. they're, or passive being or whatever they are, right? So they didn't mind, they're not upset that the Empire built that station and is right. occupying that area, where I think if the Wookiees were there, they would have been a little bit more, I don't think they would have even allowed them to build, set up shop. You know what
right.
I mean?
I mean, I get what you're saying, but we also don't know what that draft of the story looked like. Like, it might not have been even, it could have been a completely different
right.
movie at that point. Like,
yeah,
we
maybe
don't
they
really
captured,
know.
Maybe they did even more and captured the Wookiees.
Right, like, yeah. so maybe, yeah, there could have been some different story going on there that we don't know about. Because, yeah, you're right, the Wookiees definitely wouldn't have been as passive, but, you know, again, they were slaves to the Empire, so maybe they were, hell, they could have been slave labor, and they could have been building the structures for all we know.
Right, good
you know?
Point.
So, yeah, it's hard to say what we would have got there, but yeah, in looking at it now, you know, that's a section of the movie that I could skip past or do without.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to know, lead off really with could. It, start with that, and then get it over with.
right.
It's, you know, you have the, it's, it really, to me, was unnecessary. It's, I know what you're saying. It's for the kids, but
right,
it was
think
too much. I
think
thought.
About if they were timed in such a way that you're getting that movie when you're 9 or 10 years old. And then, you know, now you've got the Ewok action figures and you've got mm-hmm. the, you know what I mean? So,
I still don't think I would have been cuddly and all that with them, because it's not like I.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that at any age that I was overly cuddly anyways as a kid. But,
right.
but again, I don't think, you know, maybe we look at it a little differently if we were 7 or 8 or 9
yeah.
instead of 13. You know, again, that age is, you know, 13 is a terrible age for kids anyways, you know,
right.
cause again, you have that, like you said, that rebellious phase where you're not a kid anymore. Now you're a teenager and,
right.
you know, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I know how to live my life kind of thing. So it's already kind of like a tough time for kids. And then, you know, now we're, you know, kind of seeing this
yeah.
movie and, like I said, transitioning out. Cause, you know, part of you still wants to like Star Wars, like at 13, like part of you still wants to play with the toys a little bit, but
oh,
you think
yeah.
you're too cool and you're, you know, you can't be, you know, you can't be seen by your well, other friends as playing with Star Wars.
I have a brother that's 4 years younger than me, so I was still getting, those were still
I
being,
play with toys now.
Exactly.
But that's different, you know.
No,
but you're at that
not.
Age where, you're at that age where you kind of still want to be doing it, but you can't because,
right.
you know, it's not cool anymore. So, you know, like I said, I think there was a lot going on for us when we saw this movie the first time, but like I said, I don't remember the Ewoks bugging me as much when I saw it the first
right.
time.
Oh, they know? Bothered me, but it wasn't, yeah. I think, and we'll get into more of that. Like I said, we're leading with this because I just want to get it over with.
Right.
And there's one other little, it's a funny one, but the rest of the movie is really what, it was very easy to overlook.
Right.
The Ewoks, but they were a big part of it. And especially look, watching
well,
back
were a
to
big
it.
Chunk of, yeah, they were a big chunk of the movie.
And it's like, I watch it now and I'm like, wow, they're in a lot more than I remembered, because I was just like, you know, back then there was so much other stuff you were thinking. And,
right.
You know, but the other one that I wanted to mention was, and we kind of touched on this earlier, in our Star Wars talk all the Boba Fett lore.
Right.
And he goes out in Three Stooges, like, huh? Boba Fett? What? Boom, wow, right into the side of the ship. It comes out. It's like, really?
Well, he's always been the biggest joke of the Star Wars universe, right? Because he carries this mythos of being, like,
that's what I mean.
The most feared bounty hunter in the galaxy. Right. And, like, blind Han Solo.
Yeah. You know, he goes off in the Three Stooges plumber's bit. holding the pipe, and he spins around and knocks him off.
The other part, you know, since now we're kind of talking about the Tatooine and the sail barge part of it and all that, the other part that really stuck out to me as a 13-year-old, probably more so than the Ewoks, was Slave Leia. So I think that can't be, you know,
again,
overstated enough.
We were 13.
You know? Exactly.
We were 13.
I don't think that can be overstated or understated
enough. Well, you remember the Friends episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it stuck with everybody at that age.
Yeah.
Did you have the sail barge?
No, you know, that was one of the I didn't.
That was
my collection
that
fell
I wanted.
Off though. My collection fell off around this movie because
do you
I wasn't
remember
collecting
it from
the
Sears
toys
catalog?
As much. Oh, I do remember it. Yeah. And again, this is one of the more expensive toys to collect now.
Is
because
it?
Yes, because and so are a lot of the ending, you know, not that this is a toy podcast, but a lot of the figures at the end of the line are the ones that are the most valuable now because
we got older and weren't collecting.
Right. They languished in the stores and they didn't sell as well as the other two movies. And I think it's because that core group of kids that were growing up with those movies were aging out of it
right
by that time, and I don't know if younger kids were jumping in with movie number three,
right?
You know, so and those were the days where it wasn't as easy to go back and catch up on movies number one and
good
two.
Good point. Yeah. Yep.
Because I don't think by the time Jedi hit the theaters, maybe Star Wars was on HBO, but I don't remember exactly
right.
what the timing of that was. So I think, you know, to your, you know, to that point with the toys, like a lot of those kids were growing out of collecting that stuff. And yeah, but I remember the sail barge and that's an awesome toy. You know, they've redone, you know, again, now I'm going to really turn this into a toy podcast, but, Hasbro came back recently, like last year, and they did a Kickstarter for another sail barge.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, they kickstarted it in the retail on the, and I didn't buy one because the retail of it was like $600.
Jeez.
But now I'm kicking myself that I didn't buy one because they're selling for like $1,200 or $1,300. But I mean, this thing's like 6 foot long. Like it takes a whole 6 foot table. Like
oh,
it's
wow.
It's a two scale sail barge
two
where
scale,
like,
yeah.
I can see pictures of, you know, like I see pictures on my collectors groups that I follow
so what,
on Instagram.
To scale of the figures?
To scale of the figures,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, jeez.
And it's like
so that's
got to
be the size of the aircraft carrier from G.I. Joe. Remember
yes.
that thing?
Well, the flag, that's bigger. The U.S. flag is like the biggest toy ever made
is
or
it?
Something. But
yeah.
But this thing is just not just as big, but it's just as impressive. And damn, I wish I had one, man, because they're awesome. Yeah. But it's huge.
You'd
and,
be
si- like I said,
that'd be your podcast, dude. You'd be sitting at it.
I would. Yeah, it'd be my desk. But you'd definitely be able to see it behind me because it would take up the whole wall back there. But yeah, so the one from the 80s wasn't quite as impressive as the one we get now.
No,
but it
I
was
remember
still pretty
the,
cool.
Wasn't the one from the 80s on wheels or something? If I remember, it fits the right toy that I'm thinking of.
I don't think it was on wheels, but again, I never owned one. I've seen them in, you know, I've seen
I
them
thought
in
I remember it on
other
wheels.
Catalogs and stuff.
But yeah, this is, yeah, we're. Well, it is about the movie. It is Star Wars.
It,
so
it is.
Pertains
it is
and,
Return
and
of the
it's
Jedi.
Our show.
It is our show.
Damn it.
You're gonna do a home theater podcast. I might do a vintage Star Wars toy podcast one of these days. And
that's good.
I've got tons of stuff. That's definitely in my wheelhouse.
So
yeah, sticking with kind of like the beginning of the movie and, you know, Jabba's dungeon and the sail barge and all that, you know, we have the scene kind of at the beginning of the movie where, you know, Leia breaks in to rescue Han, and you know she's
well. She doesn't break
hunter.
In. She
well, she doesn't break in. She brings Chewie in,
yeah,
as a you know because he's got a bounty on him as well from Jabba, And, you know, she's posing as a bounty hunter, and we all know the story, but anyway.
Yeah.
She comes in and,
very reminiscent of New Hope when they dressed as stormtroopers with Chewie.
Right. Right. But, you know, and again, when you're seeing it for the first time, you don't know that it's Leia.
No.
And you don't really know what's going on. So, like, that reveal the first time you see it was pretty awesome, you know, cause, you know, she thaws him out and he falls down and he said, "Who is it?" And she's like at this gravelly voice and she's like, "Somebody that loves you." And I'm like, "Who the heck is this? Like, who's,
you know what
this
I thought?
Old 80-year-old man is in love with Han." But again, the thing that kills me about all of this, and I mentioned it when we were talking about Empire, is, you know, he was frozen in carbonite. And to our knowledge, yes,
I thought
nobody else had
time.
Nobody else had ever been frozen in carbonite before. And, you know, C-3PO makes the comment in Empire that, well, you know, if he survives, he should be fine. But, again, nobody knows what the side effects are or whatever. And then she thaws him out, and he's like, "I can't see anything." And she says, "That's the carbonite sickness," and blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
right,
all of a sudden, you're an expert on carbonite sickness.
Well, clearly they did their research.
But who was the test subject? Like, the only subject there ever was Han.
So
nobody knows what happens when you thaw out, you know?
Yeah.
Unless they went back and flash froze like 87 other people and thawed them right back out again to see what happened to them. But yeah, that always struck me as funny that, you know, as far as we know, he's the only guy that ever got frozen in carbonite. And everybody's an expert on what happens to him when he thaws out.
So this is one of those things, like, I can't believe this happened, because I watched Jedi today at the end of the day, like, a little while ago, right before we recorded. But every morning I get up, I've been telling you, I've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
Right.
So, I'm on Season 5, Episode 5. In this episode, they do a flashback, spoiler, a bunch of the agents go to the future, go 70 years in the future, and you know who Leo Fitz is?
Yeah.
Remember Leo Fitz? So he's the only one back in the present day. The only way he can get to his friends, the rest of the agents, 70 years in the future, is to go into this cryo chamber. Okay?
Okay.
So do you remember, you probably didn't watch it far enough, but Lance Hunter, he was mm-hmm. boyfriend, girlfriend with Bobby on the show. She was the tall, like...
Well, I know Bobby was Mockingbird.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. So Lance Hunter, he's got like the English accent.
And, yeah. I know
you know who
about.
I'm talking about? Well, he comes back in this one episode to save Leo, to save Fitz. You know, they haven't seen each other in a while because Hunter's off the show. He's been off the show for a while. But anyways, so they hug when they first see each other and one of them hugs too long and it's pretty funny. So anyways, when Fitz gets into the cryo chamber, he's in there and it's like the one they use has a window. So you could see his face and they close, it's right. Like a big giant coffin almost. They close it and you could see his face. And the last thing they say to each other is, Lance looks at him and goes, "I love you."
Just I
like,
know.
And then, yeah, Fitz goes, "I know." And I was just like,
"That's awesome."
I'm like, I am going to be watching that later. I was like,
well, actually you were watching Jedi and that was from Empire, but. That's
no,
okay.
I know, but it's like, but that whole reference, I was
yeah,
cracking
that's awesome.
Up. I'm like, that was so funny. And I'm like, and then I'm also thinking that there's a lot of Star Wars references in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because the Disney properties, you know?
Right.
But I just thought it was so funny in that whole scene. But anyways, back to that scene when they're trying to save Han. One of the things that I thought was funny about that, and I don't know if you picked up on this, but I made mental note. I call them my John Ciccone moments.
Okay.
So when Leia and
was it convenient somehow?
No, but it was. I think it's convenient for the viewer.
Okay.
So you have Boba Fett talking to Leia. Neither of them speak English, but somehow they both speak English because 3PO is the translator. And that's like, so the only common language that they all speak is English.
Right.
Because Boba Fett says something, C-3PO repeats it in English, then Leia through her translate, like, so she's supposed to be an alien speaking in another language, right?
Right.
So then she repeats it back, and then 3PO then repeats it to Boba Fett in English. So Boba Fett and the alien both speak English. Why don't they just speak English to each other?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
See
I didn't...
what I'm saying? It's like, if I'm going to translate to you, I've got to translate to you in your language. I don't give it back to you in another foreign language. You see what I'm saying?
But I think that's just convenient for us. Like
that's what
said.
I said. It's convenient.
I think
but
C-3PO is probably translating it back in the other languages.
But he never did. You see the whole scene.
Right, but what I'm saying is we're supposed to assume that he's speaking in other languages, but we're getting it in English because it's easy for us to, yeah. Okay. I don't know.
But I just thought, I call those my job. And since I've been doing these with you, lazy writing, I'm seeing these more and more. Yeah. that is ridiculous.
You are being ridiculous right now.
How many times did you listen to that one?
Oh, a couple.
Yeah. I really enjoy those opening scenes.
Yeah, the whole thing with
the flyover.
Yeah, with Luke.
No, the opening scene. It's like their trademark. Every main Star Wars movie has to come in with the opening scene with the ship flying overhead, coming from behind. I really love those scenes.
The post crawl ship scene.
Yes. All right. I don't know if this is jumping ahead at all because I can't think of anything off the top of my head in between, but I believe, is this the first time we see the Emperor in person? Because we saw him as as an image.
Yes. We saw him as an image in Empire, and it wasn't even the same actor.
No, exactly.
Yeah. But, so I think this is the first time we get Ian McDiarmid as the Emperor.
Yeah, and they tease it at the beginning when Vader's talking to whatever commanding officer that was to try and ramp up the construction.
Right.
And he's like, maybe you could tell the Emperor yourself, and now all of a sudden we can get the job done.
Right, that's such classic, like, you know.
Oh, the boss is coming?
Shop talk, right? It's like, I'm telling you, Lord Vader, we are moving as fast as we can, and we can't possibly go any faster.
Right.
Oh, we'll tell that to the Emperor. Oh, we'll double our efforts, and we'll be ready. Yeah. Like, I'd be like, hey, M&F-er, like, why couldn't you double your efforts, you know, 5 seconds ago? Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not intimidating enough for you, you know?
Do you see my outfit?
I'm Darth freaking Vader, you know, scourge of the universe, and you can't double your efforts for me, but you'll do it for this 90-year-old geezer that's coming down.
90.
I think it's the first time we see him in person.
That's the first time that we've seen him in 1983. You see that. And I thought that was really impressive, the whole entire presentation. Inside the Death Star, you have everybody.
Well,
laid
right, it
out.
Was very military. Like it was, it
looked so awesome, and that Death Star looked so much bigger too. It was, I just thought that was very impressive. Oh, another funny John moment when they had the, and this was the one transport ship coming from a Star Destroyer to the Death Star, and you see it fly, and like the Star Destroyer is parked right outside the Death Star. So he's like basically taking a quick trip from the, you know, almost like taking a rowboat from the boat to the shore.
Right, right. And, it's the shuttle plane.
And then, right, the shuttle plane to get from the Star Destroyer to the Death Star. You can see it leave and they're like, I need your passcode.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Does that passcode check out?
I'm looking at
it. Just left. Yeah. It's like, now here's the thing. All that's doing is foreshadowing what's going to happen later when Luke, Han, and Leia are trying to get to the, you know, trying to get their ship through, and they're trying to show you the security measures you have
the
to
protocols.
Go through.
Right.
But they literally show a ship leaving a Star Destroyer parked right outside the Death Star. It's like, that is super tight security. They don't even trust themselves.
Right.
but then when Leia, Luke, and Han show up, they're like, it's an old passcode. I was going to let them through.
What kills me is there's like a deleted scene that, of the inside of that shuttlecraft, and the Emperor keeps saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
So. You've been holding on to that one all week?
No, it just came to my mind. You know, I'm full of gold.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Just keep, you know, you just keep rolling them out
The and dad jokes just keep yep. on, keep on coming.
And these are the ones that make air.
Yeah, I know, right? Imagine the ones you don't hear. It's like, we're still rolling, man.
Let it go.
I'm workshopping my routine, man.
Yeah, you are. All right. So why don't we listen to this clip? These are Yoda's last words. And okay. I want to we'll listen to this and then we'll talk about it afterwards. But I think these are going to be very important even going forward in the movie coming up. So let's listen to this quick.
Master Yoda, is Darth Vader my father?
Rest thy maid. Yes, rest.
Yoda, I must know.
Your father is. Told you, did he?
All right, so that's the first big reveal of the movie. And at the time, and I say that right now because we didn't know that there was a second reveal coming. But right now, right. Let's just talk about this big reveal here. We finally find the answer that we've been waiting 3 years for.
Right.
That Vader is Luke's father.
Yeah. Ending all the schoolyard debate, right? Because again, right. I don't know at that point if I had resigned myself to the fact that he was telling the truth or not before I saw the movie. Because I don't remember what conclusion we finally came to in all of our schoolyard debates about whether he was telling the truth or not. But yeah, obviously, that was huge for us. And again, you know, again, I don't want to say like kids today will never know. You know what the struggle was like, but I mean, like nobody seeing this, not everybody knows, like even if you've never seen these movies now, everybody knows that Darth Vader is Luke's father, you know,
right.
Like it will never have that impact like it had for us, you know, back then right. seeing that for the first time, you know, I don't know. Cause I can't think, you know, it's been so long. I can't even remember like what my reaction or my, was when I heard that the first time, because it's just so far. It was so long ago that I don't remember. I don't remember how it hit me when I saw it, but
see, I don't think it hit me like a ton of bricks because at that time, like when we found out we were 10
right.
in Empire and you kind of took him at his word, even right. though it was Vader. I don't think as a 10-year-old, I was like, he's lying. He's this. We were like, we doubted it a little bit, but we were right. like, maybe he is, you know, but it's hard to imagine what it was like with zero backstory. I mean, you're just going on, how could he be his father? You didn't understand it.
Right.
And then you get confirmation here. So it's basically confirmation to something that you may have already known.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. We knew it was a possibility.
Right.
So, regardless of what the answer was, like, we weren't going to be super surprised either way. We just wanted to know.
Right.
You know, we wanted the question answered once and for all, basically.
Right.
But,
So we get that question answered, and we think it's like, okay, we'll move on. It's an emotional scene. You have Yoda, it's Yoda's last words, or you think.
Right.
And then Yoda continues on with this. So that scene right there, to me, that's the big reveal of this movie. Because that we had no idea about.
Well, we had some foreshadowing to that. Because
we had foreshadowing.
Right.
But we did not know that they were brother and sister.
No, we didn't.
That's a huge thing.
Well, he doesn't tell him, Yoda doesn't tell him that right there either. He just says there's another Skywalker. And Luke figures it out.
Yoda spoke of another.
The other he spoke of is your twin sister.
But I have no sister. Hmm.
To protect you both from the Emperor, you were hidden from your father when you were born. The Emperor knew, as I did, if Anakin were to have any offspring, they would be a threat to him. That is the reason why your sister remains safely anonymous.
Leia. Leia is my sister.
Your insight serves you well. Bury your feelings deep down, Luke. They do you credit, but they could be made to serve the Empire.
All in that scene, we find all of that out. And that's like,
right.
That actually casts a shadow on the other reveal, which isn't really a reveal. It's a confirmation, but this is huge news at the time.
Right. Because we didn't see that coming. Because again, that was also another question that plagued us after seeing Empire. You know, the things we talked about after the end of that movie was, you know, is Darth Vader really Luke's father? And the other question is, who is the other? Because that was the conversation between Obi-Wan's ghost and Yoda. And Yoda says, no, there is another. And, you know, I'm thinking it's Han, you know, Han Solo. That's who we wanted it to be, right? Because we wanted Han to have a lightsaber and be a Force user too. But that was the other thing we talked about incessantly, you know, between movies.
What I liked is the writing that he did here and created that little bit of a shell game going on where it's like, so in Empire, he gives you this big reveal that Luke, I am your father, but it's that little one line in the background that made, oh, there is another. And we still had that in the back of our mind, but we wanted to know the answer to this. And so it's like one really overshadowed the other. And then he does the old switcheroo in Jedi where we get the confirmation on what we wanted answered. And he hits us at the exact same time with an answer to a question that we probably, I'll be honest, I think at the time I completely forgot about that question. Right. Until he said, all of a sudden he goes, there is another. And you're like, oh my God, we're getting that answer now too. And then it's like, twin sister?
Right.
And it's like, and again, your mind is blown. You have no idea how this could be possible.
Well, my mind went right back to all those kisses from the first two movies.
Well, that's the other thing. And it's like, you say that, but at the same time, that's the way to mislead you. Like I said, this is that's the shell game that Lucas was playing. You know, it's like, you're like, they can't be. They practically made out in the med bay.
Right.
It's like, it was just amazing at the time to know. And it's like, and for all we know, this was the last movie we were ever getting. We didn't know if those others were ever going to be made. If we were ever going to find anything
out. We didn't know if they were ever going to be made, but we knew that there was always the plan.
Right.
Like, cause by then we knew about the 9-movie plan. We just weren't sure, you know, if they were ever, you know, they were ever going to come or not. Yeah, that was a pretty big deal. Again, it's so overshadowed now because it's such common knowledge. Like we forget when we didn't know that and we heard it for the first time. And what a big, you know, cause again, then all of a sudden your mind starts reeling. Like what's going to happen in the rest of this movie? Is Leia going to get a lightsaber and, you know, what's going to happen? And yeah, it was a pretty massive reveal that, like I said, I think we take for granted now because we've known it for 45 years or whatever, 40 years. So
yeah, to your point earlier that I think a lot of the public now it's so general knowledge, I guess.
Right. It's part of the lexicon of America. Like everybody knows.
Yeah.
You know?
You just take it for granted. And it was just really such a big reveal at the time. And again, left with how for 20, 30, 20 years?
Yeah.
I think 99 99 was when we started to get it. And that's what made us, that's what made those movies so popular. It's like, you know, you look back on those movies now, as we did when we did episode 1, 2, and 3, and we're like, oh, these don't really hold, they're not as good, but we were so riveted because of
this. We wanted that story, right? We wanted the story.
We wanted to know how. Right. It's funny because we're doing Jedi now, but then we're talking about movies we've already talked about, but we want to talk about because it's, they
well, the
all
thing
lead
is,
into each
is because
other.
We got this reveal, right? We got the reveal from Yoda on his deathbed. So he's gone and Obi-Wan's gone. And I mean, I know there's Force ghosts and they still can communicate or whatever, but the thing is, right, we have all these still more questions and there's nobody left to give us the answers. Because right. Everybody that knows the answers is dead. So, you know, we don't know how, right, we want to know how, we want to know more, like, we want to know the rest of that story, and there's nobody left to tell us
right.
What that story is. Because even Vader doesn't know, right? Like, because even when he finds out that, you know, that Leia exists and that, you know, there's a yeah. sister, he doesn't know how it happened either. Like, he doesn't know the background of right. where, or what Obi-Wan did or what Yoda did or any of that stuff. So.
Well, Vader has to know he knows that Padme was pregnant.
Right. But he doesn't
know
there were
twins.
Right.
And then
I don't know how he even knows he's Luke's father, to be honest with you. Like, who well, even told him?
Felt,
like, how does he know?
It.
You know?
He just feels it with the
I guess
force.
Just the force, you know, the force lets, he did the force paternity test or something, so.
No, I think he knew because he felt them. I mean, it's like he sensed it.
Yeah.
And he knew he had a kid. He's like, but you're right. It's like, it is one of those things in Empire, like, there was no all of a sudden, like.
Of course, his name was Luke Skywalker, so.
Good
that
point.
Was probably yeah. That was probably yeah. his first clue. But
all right, so you just answered your own question.
Yeah, I guess I did. But
that's pretty funny. We forgot that part. He's named Skywalker. Yeah. Oh yeah. Which you'd think they would have. You know, they went all that way to hide him in on Tatooine.
Well, exactly.
You,
like,
you
why did they
his name?
Exactly.
Because she's you not know, Leia Skywalker.
No, right. She's Leia Organa, right? Because Bail Organa. So why wasn't it Luke Lars? Because
right.
he was. You know, adopted by Owen and Beru Lars. I mean, that's not a great, maybe you have to come up with a different first name because Luke Lars is, you know, kind of rolls off the tongue, I guess, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Not a very great, really not a great disguise, Obi-Wan.
Yeah, Obi-Wan changed his name.
Yeah.
He went from Obi-Wan to Ben.
To old Ben.
Yeah. All right, so. Going from there, I think we go right to, what's the planet where they have the jungle?
Endor.
Endor, that's it. Yep, Endor. So we go right to Endor, relatively, you know. What did you think about the battle scenes on Endor?
I mean, you're talking about like the scout, like the bikers, the chase?
Yeah,
the biker
I
chases,
really liked
or?
The biker chase. That was awesome.
Yeah, well, that's pretty harrowing too. When you, even looking at it now, it's like, they're pretty good drivers, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of trees there. But
again,
what's... Oh, I'd say going back to my thoughts about, you know, in Empire, how we have different sets of armor for every
yeah.
Occasion, you know?
I liked their armor.
Yeah,
I liked
was
the bike.
The biker scout armor was cool.
Yeah. Although, if you're driving that fast on an open-faced vehicle, you wouldn't have a mask that catches the wind to make your head pat.
Oh yeah,
you know what
knocking
I mean?
Your head back.
They have
yeah.
the visor coming off. That's like literally like just like that's gonna slow you down,
right?
Like, and make your it's gonna really work the neck muscles the
yeah,
way
it's
that
gonna,
visor came
it's
off their face.
Keep cracking your head back.
Yeah, exactly. You'd think they'd be
but
a
again,
little bit more aerodynamic.
But again, you would think that they probably have to go through some kind of training to drive those bikes, you know,
and apparently a couple
through
of
the
them,
jungle.
There's no training that says, don't look behind you.
Right. But again, Luke and Leia just hop on these vehicles that they've probably never seen or driven before.
John,
and yet,
they have the Force.
Well, Luke has the Force.
So does
Leia
she.
Leia doesn't
we
have
just
anything.
Found that out.
Yeah, but she doesn't know any. She doesn't even know yet. She doesn't know she has it.
She hasn't had her midichlorians tested yet. But
yeah, right. Thank God that dropped. but. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said,
those bike scenes. Those bikers,
that was pretty, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Those scenes were great.
But the reason I asked the question though is because I wasn't a big fan, I'm still not a big fan of the jungle scene because it was woods. As even Han Solo says when he's trying to describe them running, you know, the rebels ran away, ran off into the woods. Right. I have woods where I live.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it didn't feel as sci-fi to me. Even as a kid, I was like, I liked, like, you know, Tatooine with the deserts.
Why did the snow? Like Hoth? I mean, Hoth was just the snow. I mean,
yeah, but that was crazy snow.
We had a blizzard in 78, which was, yeah, you know, before we saw that. So,
yeah,
I think it was just taking us to every, you know, every locale.
It was my least favorite of the locales is my point. Yeah. And it was like, it just didn't feel as sci-fi. And especially, and this is probably what he was going for, but you go from Endor up into the cold Death Star where it's, you know, black and white, high contrast.
Right.
I really liked those scenes. I thought those looked really cool with, you know, and then of course, that's probably, you know, enhanced by getting those Endor scenes. But the jungle looked nice, you know, all the greens, that was fun. But of all of the different planets they went to, that was my least favorite because it was like most like home.
Well, it was right. It was kind of the most familiar, you know. Like you said, it could have just been in our backyards. But which is also cool. I guess maybe it brought a little bit more, I don't want to say realism to it, but, you know, in a way it did, right? Because it's kind of happening. You could see it happening in, like, your backyard because I had woods and trees in the backyard, so.
Yeah, I just didn't have one of those speeder bikes.
No, I wanted one, but.
And what's the name of those bipedal battle?
They're ATST.
STs, that's it.
Yeah.
ATSTs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most impractical vehicle.
Yeah.
You can trip it.
The chicken walkers is what, you know, they're affectionately called. And yeah, those were not quite as impressive as the AT-ATs that we had, you know, in the previous movie.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure why we went to the smaller ones because we've seen we saw in Rogue One that the AT-ATs were just fine in Hawaii. Because, you know, that's where we had him in Rogue One on the beach.
Right.
So, I guess maybe just because
they're more maneuverable.
There
were
so many trees. Yeah, I guess there's so many trees down there. But yeah, that was weird.
They hadn't transported those off of Hoth yet.
Right. They were still in cold storage.
Yeah. Ba-doom-ching.
Yeah.
You are on fire tonight.
Another dad joke.
Oh. All right, let's get to the Death Star and right. The whole Luke, Vader, Emperor. We can leave out the.
No!
But it's, I actually watched that scene in both ways, but.
Oh yeah. So I guess, did you watch it in,
yep.
The despecialized versus the special
yep.
edition today or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched both. There's not huge differences.
No.
As far as, I thought there were going to be more. Obviously, you have the whole Jabba the Hutt, you know, dance fever scene.
Yeah, which I think we could all do without.
But it's, the scene's not really that much different. They just, like, the scene length doesn't change that much, I don't believe. They just added pieces into the scene.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I think the biggest add to the movie was the ending where they had the different cities. All the different planets that, now we didn't see that. That special edition didn't come out until after we saw episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
So all of those, you know, different planets that they showed celebrating made sense to us. So, I didn't mind that. I thought it was pretty cool. I was going to save this part for the end anyways. You know what? We'll get to the Force Ghosts and stuff. We'll wrap up with that because I actually have a thought on that too. But yeah, the whole Vader, Luke, and Emperor scene. Well, let's just start with, do you remember what it was like when you were a kid? Because that seems to be our running theme on these three.
Well, I mean, you're talking about just the fight itself or like
yeah.
the conversion, like Vader's conversion at the end. Well, again,
the
I think
entire thing, the building up to it, Luke holding back the dark side.
Well, I think, you know, it continues the evolution of the battles. Cause remember when we talked about Empire last month, you know, I talked about the comparison of the Luke and Vader lightsaber battle as compared to, you know, like Vader and Obi-Wan from the first movie and how, you know, it just,
oh yeah,
the evolution of the choreography in the battles had changed so much. And I think it goes even further. You know, in this movie, they take it to another level also. You know, this great battle, great lightsaber battles. You know, the fight between Vader and Luke is pretty awesome. You know, Luke, you know, it's kind of like using his lightsaber, you know, towards the end, you know, like a battering ram almost, and like, or like a hammer, and like hammering Vader into the ground. Like, it was really, really cool. The whole cat and mouse game with the Emperor, you know, it's kind of like, you know, does he want Luke to kill Vader? You know, it's like, you know, it's kind of like he wants, right, that's what I'm saying. It's like he wants Luke to kill Vader so he can take his place. And if I'm Vader, I'm like, hold on, fool. You know,
it's like,
I'm still here, you know, fighting for you.
But, so this is why it's like, this is why I like to go back to what it was like when we were kids, watch it for the first time, but then you watch it now as knowing episodes 1 through 3, Vader and the Emperor have already been in this scene with Count Dooku.
Right.
So,
because he's on the other end of it.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, but at the time when we saw it in 83, we knew none of that.
Right. None of that had ever happened.
So, you know what I mean? That's
which, again, I think it was almost Lucas Backwoods wrote that. You know what I mean? Because obviously he wrote that way later. And said, well, this would be a cool callback to, you know, that scene that we had.
Right. And the difference is that Luke doesn't kill him.
Right.
And it's funny because, like, you know, a few minutes ago I said, you know, we did episodes 1, 2, and 3 already, but every time we do 4, 5, and 6 now, we're referencing back to 1, 2, and 3. But the only reason we're doing that is because we saw them 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I mean, we're doing our little review thing building up to, you know, Rise of Skywalker. But it's funny. Maybe we should have watched them in 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3.
Well, the thing is, it's all one big narrative.
Right.
So
yeah,
it's like
exactly.
You know, it's so tied together now that it's hard to separate them out as not being one big story. But yeah, you're right. Like, we had no idea what was coming in 1983 when we saw this.
Right.
You know, from the prequels. Again, or if we were ever going to get them, like we said, we didn't even know.
But yeah, so like that scene when I never thought for a second that he was going to go to the dark side. I never thought. Luke,
no, well, watching no, because he's the hero, right? I mean,
right. And it's, you were like, even though he was dressed in all black,
right?
It's like, right. You know, he had the little lapel was held open with a little bit of white on the inside.
Right.
So yeah, but I never thought he was going to go to the dark side. But then when you get to that whole part where the Emperor, I think that's the first time we see, you know, the lightning fingers.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and then that's a new, you know, force power that we didn't know existed.
Right, which again is just a dark side power as far as we know, because we've never seen that from any Jedi, really. You know, it's a dark side power. They get all the cool toys, the dark side.
And I think some of this stuff is, this is all going to be played out in Rise of Skywalker.
I would think so.
Well,
to some degree, because
I think a lot of it is because. So go back to Vader's. Yeah, go back to Yoda's last words, and he used the term "Last Jedi," which is the last movie. And here's the Rise of Skywalker is going to be. This is where he actually fulfills everything that the Emperor had seen. And that's why the Emperor is coming back in this, because he hasn't killed the Emperor yet. And that was, you know, it was said the Emperor has foreseen it.
Right, but we don't know that the Rise of Skywalker is Luke. Like, we don't know that it has anything to do with Luke.
No.
So I don't know that he's the one that's going to fulfill that prophecy.
Well, I wonder if it's where Yoda, and going back to Yoda's last words, is where he said, "You're the last Jedi. Pass it on. Train others."
Right.
Yeah. When gone am I? The last of the Jedi will you be? The Force will strong in your family. Pass on what you have learned.
So is that what he's talking, are these, you know, Kylo, does he come back as, you know, on the good side? Is, you know, Rey, does she come back? Or does she stay good? Is she, I think my personal thing, and this has nothing to do with Jedi, really, I think she's going to be the balance. And that's what I kind of led to this when you said, like, the lightning fingers is the dark side. I think she's going to have both sides. That's the true balance of the Force, is she's going to wield both dark and light.
Well, because again, even with Rey and whatever she turns out to be, she's not a Jedi. Like, Luke is not training, you know, obviously Luke's, well, we think he's dead, we don't know, but like he says, he's not training any more Jedi. Like, the Jedi are gone.
Right.
Whatever she is, like, he is still the last Jedi, regardless of whatever
right.
happens.
And that's why I think that title is apropos. That's why I think Yoda says, "You're the last Jedi."
Right.
But he doesn't say, even Yoda doesn't say, "Train more Jedi."
Right.
You know what I mean? He says, "You're the last Jedi. But right. pass on what you know."
Right.
So this is all being done. And as much as people didn't like the movie Last Jedi, and obviously we'll get into that when we do Last Jedi, I enjoyed it.
Well, it's almost like the writers had a bit of a roadmap to follow.
Gee.
You know?
Who
can
knew?
You imagine? Yeah.
When you're on the 8th of 9,
yeah.
you have a little backstory to help
yeah,
you
I don't
out
know.
There.
I don't know where that came from, but.
Yeah. So that lends us, getting back to Return of the Jedi, Luke doesn't kill the Emperor.
Right.
And apparently neither does Vader, but Vader picks him up, throws him over the edge, he falls, and there's an explosion.
Right. And we think he's dead.
Think he's dead.
I mean,
there
for 30
was some
years,
magical blue light comes out of there and washes
over. Basically, for 35 years, we've assumed he was dead. You know?
Right. Maybe that blue light is his Force ghost going somewhere. I don't know. It's maybe that, you know, whatever. So we're just finding out what in the last year or two when we start seeing the trailers.
Right, really
for
the
this,
last, yeah, the last year or so.
Right. That he's coming back.
Right.
And that's what gets us all into speculating, well, Luke didn't kill him and he was supposed to be he's prophesied to have take him down. Yes, they could have done without the new.
Yeah. Could have
Which,
done without that.
That is a weird one to add in.
Yes.
It like really unnecessary. I don't know what he was thinking there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and a lot of them I can see like, oh, well, we didn't have the technology.
Right.
What didn't you have? A microphone?
Right. Like, right.
That one didn't make sense to me. It doesn't right. bother me. It's not the end. Literally, when I see it, I chuckle. I'm like, it doesn't
yeah,
bother me.
It,
it's
it bugs me.
It sounds
so pretentious, but like, I'm a purist with Star. Like, I just want
yeah.
what I had. You know, I don't want any of that extra stuff. You know, I get that he wanted to do all these things, but I don't
but that's
need
what
it.
I mean. It's like, that's one of those things where it's like, you could have done that at the time.
Right. Right.
Like,
yeah, that's one.
That's not one, you know, I get there were limitations in the 70s and 80s. Then
right.
you want to add a little bit more. And I can appreciate that. And I respect that. But a no?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, that could have been there from the get-go or not.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, and again, if we're talking about kind of like the special edition add-ins, you know, like I completely understand the Anakin Force Ghost, you know, at the end. Why?
Well, yeah,
I completely
we'll
understand.
Get to that.
Yeah, I completely understand why that was done. But again, I don't need it. It doesn't need to be there. It didn't need to be done. I don't know. I think it takes away a little bit for me.
Well, see, I think it can kind of add because then it can explain because who was it before? It was just we didn't know who Vader was.
Right, but it was the actor that played unhelmeted Vader. Like it was the same guy.
Right.
But my point is like Obi-Wan didn't put Ewan McGregor in there. Like
no,
Obi-Wan died as Obi-Wan dies as a Force ghost as an old man, and he comes back as a Force ghost as an old man. Yoda comes back as old Yoda. He didn't come back when he was young and had all his hair, you know. So why does Anakin come back as young Anakin? You know, I know you have a response, but
I got my hand up.
I know.
So so
signed Epstein's mother.
Yeah, according to Star Wars lore, Force ghosting is only done by the Jedis.
Right.
Dark side can't Force ghost. Right.
Which he shouldn't even know how to do it, really. But
right. But so this there's two parts to this. This gets back into the whole story that Obi-Wan told Luke. Anakin killed your father. I'm sorry. Vader killed your father.
Right.
So Vader took over Anakin. Anakin is the Jedi.
Right.
Vader is on the dark side. So when he became Vader, that's when Anakin died. So that's the Force ghost that would come back because everything after that was Vader.
That's too convenient.
Really, I worked long and hard on that. I thought.
No, I mean, I get that. Honestly, honestly, I haven't really not looked at it that way. But I don't know. It doesn't do it for me. Like, I still don't. I don't know.
If I mean, they had never changed the thing, I would be fine. But now that they changed it, that's what I would go with. Because to me,
I understand that, and that is a valid. You know, that's a valid point. I mean, I do get that, but I don't know. It's just tinkering with something else that didn't need to be tinkered with, you know.
But I like that little part, that can create, and it creates a conversation.
Right. Well, and I guess the answer to what I said is how would he know how to do it? But, you know, yeah, we forget that he had years of training as a Jedi.
Right.
Like, he was a fully trained, well, almost fully trained Jedi Knight, so, like, he wouldn't have forgot all that stuff. I mean, I guess that would answer how he knew how to do it.
Not really, because when Obi-Wan didn't even know how to do it when he became Vader. Because when they separated at the end of episode 3, that's when Yoda told Obi-Wan, I need you to go off, take Luke, go to Tatooine, hide out, and you're gonna train, and that's when he's like, an old friend's gonna teach you how to quote, you know, he doesn't say Force ghost, but.
Right.
Qui-Gon comes back.
So Anakin, again, he should know how to do it.
Anakin didn't even know at the time. So that's one of those little, you know, droids. I don't remember owning a droid hole. You know, that's a little plot hole.
One of those John moments, as you like
to say.
Yeah,
a little John moment there. But I still like that idea that Vader killed Anakin, so that's the version that gets to come back.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe once you're a Force ghost, you can come back and find somebody and tell them how to do it, which is basically what Qui-Gon did. So look at that. I just answered the question.
Yeah, because Qui-Gon would have trained him as a Force ghost.
Right.
Also.
So that's all that ends up happening is then Obi-Wan goes and sees Anakin and goes, hey, buddy, come on with me. We're going to go to a cookout. Right. Oh, wait, it's you that's cooking.
Yeah. Dad jokes. Dad jokes all around.
Hey, that was off the top of my head.
Yeah. Most of all, mine were too.
Yeah. You know? Should have stayed there.
Yeah.
Sorry. That was another dad joke.
Yeah.
What'd you think of we jumped ahead to basically the ending with Hayden Christensen, but what'd you think of the Vader face reveal? That was the first time we saw his face.
Yeah, it was.
Every time before that was, well, the only time before that
we saw the back of his, right, we saw the back of his head.
Yeah, that boiled egg look.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he looked weird, you know?
I mean, he looked gross.
Yeah, yeah, he did. I mean, he looked like the creature from the Black Lagoon without gills.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing was, he didn't look like we thought, like, he didn't look fearsome. You know what I mean? He looked...
No.
You know what I mean? Like, he didn't look like we expected Vader to.
He looked frail, but he was dying.
So. Well, yeah, but.
That's kind of going to make you look frail.
Yeah, but yeah, that reveal the first time, it was under, I don't even know. I mean, at 13, was it underwhelming? I don't know if I would have.
I think it was meant to be underwhelming, though. You know what I mean? Like, cause we have feared him for, what, well, right. 6 years, and we've known this tall, dark, ominous figure.
Right.
And then you take the helmet off, and he's this frail being underneath. And it's I think it was meant that way. It was meant to be like a contrast to what we knew.
Well, right. It's like shining the light on your fears. Like, that's what they say, right? Like, you know, if you're scared of the dark, you turn the lights on and you look under the bed or whatever. And it's kind of the same thing. Like, we get to see what the boogeyman looks like. And yeah, he's not really that scary. Right. He's not really that scary. Yeah. But yeah, again, it's hard to remember what my initial reaction was to that. Cause you know, it's been so long. I guess this one didn't cause I remember, with the other movies, in some case, like, seeing them for the first time and the kind of the reactions that I had. But with this one, I don't really remember how I responded to some of these things. Cause like I said, going back to Empire, I remember my reaction to the tree scene on Dagobah and things like that that really stuck with me. But this one didn't. And maybe it's cause we were 13 and, you know, again, we had a different attitude going into it.
Too cool for school.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't remember. Like I said, I don't remember my reactions to this as much as I do some of the other ones, you know?
Well, like we said, it's like, I mean, just to wrap up, it's like we were 13. There were a lot of Ewoks. I don't think this is one of the most powerful overall movies.
No.
They have a few choice powerful scenes. I thought the end, obviously that final lightsaber battle, that whole entire that we
well,
just
the whole
talked
ending
about
was
big.
Yeah, the whole ending
but
was
But Yoda
great.
Dying was big with that reveal. Yes. That was really, really huge. And then everything else seemed pretty superfluous. It just really didn't it was almost like it didn't need to be there.
Well, I mean, again, I don't know about that. All the beginning, you know, like the whole rescue scene and the, you know, when Luke in Jabba's palace, like, all that was great. I mean, it was a lot of fun.
It was good, but you know, you're right. That's not a fair way to put it. You could have changed. I mean, it could have been anything else, but it was still entertaining. But what I mean is, it's like,
had to have the rescue. Like, you absolutely had to have Han's rescue.
Yes.
How it was done could have been done any number of ways, but yeah, you're right. Then the rest of, you know, a lot of it could have been anything else. It didn't really matter what it was.
But for us, if you look back at Star Wars and Empire, there isn't a part of those movies you'd ever want to change.
Right.
You're like, no, that has to stay exactly the way it is. Whereas this one is like, all right, you could have, I don't care if they're in a jungle, they're where, it doesn't matter to me. There were only a couple of things that we need to remain, and that's the main story points. And like I said, that whole Luke and Leia being twins, that's probably the biggest reveal of the movie. And it's like, you know, this is two movies in a row we've been hit with these big shocking reveals.
Right.
Which, and that's, you know, that for me, that was about it after, you know, the movie's over. That was the talk. That's what we would talk about. They're brother and sister. They're twins.
Right. But again, this one didn't, you know, we talked about Empire. Again, when we talked about Empire, you know, it was very much like a cliffhanger, you know?
Yeah.
Like it was left as a cliffhanger. Well, this one wasn't, you know, cause again, this wrapped up, if we didn't get any more movies, we were done. Like this, it was finished.
Right.
And it was done. I think it was done that way intentionally. So there was nothing to walk out of this movie. There were no big schoolyard questions to ponder over because, like, everything was really answered
for us. No, nothing to ponder, just stuff to be like, wow, did you see that coming?
Yeah.
And that was it. It was just, there was nothing else to wonder about. It was just, you know, that was the big thing we didn't know all along. And then, I mean, the big schoolyard or it wasn't a schoolyard at 13, but
well, right.
thing you talked the, about in school cafeteria. With your buddies, cafeteria talk, was he kissed his sister.
Right.
It's like, that was the main,
right.
after that big reveal, that was the main topic.
Well, and the other thing, you know, we haven't really talked about at all is, you know, like we get the whole Lando redemption, kind of redemption arc in this
yeah.
one too, because, you know,
yeah,
he was kind of like the heel. Yeah, kind of like the heel still at the end of Empire, you know?
Yeah, we talked about that in Empire. I didn't
I mean,
really
he was kind of coming
you
around
did,
again.
But I didn't, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he was a cool dude, but I understood why he did what he did.
Well, he was definitely too cool for school, but...
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know. But, you know, we didn't love him still at the end of Empire. You know,
but
like he kind of... You know, he rescued Luke at the end off of the, you know, the weather vane, but we still weren't yeah. quite sure how we felt about him.
Yeah.
But, you know, then in this one... You know, again, he doesn't have a huge role in this movie either.
No.
But he kind of, you know, he shows up at the battle, you know, for the big battle at the end.
And... He shows up at the big battle. He is an, you know, an underrated character in this movie. But I thought he had one of the best lines of the movie. And when the Death Star explodes and he comes shooting out of the explosion. That was a lot of fun, and it was like just so well done. Like the expression on his face, and it was just so exciting to see, and seeing that
yeah.
on the big screen, it was like him shooting out of there. That was very exciting. That was a lot of fun.
Well, and we get the whole Admiral Ackbar. It's a trap.
It's a trap.
How can you forget that? That's like the best line in the movie.
I'd say that's got an internet life of its own.
Well, it definitely does. Yeah.
I don't think that was
well,
as big a deal back in the day.
Oh, it was. It had a life of its own before the internet existed, but
yeah,
it's definitely gotten more play since then.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can't forget that.
Speaking of that, who was the actress when he's first she comes in and she's the one that says many, what is it?
Bothans gave their
actress. So
I don't know the name of the actress, but it's Mon Mothma is the character, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So she steps aside, and the reason I ask, like, who's the actress? Because she was, watch her when Admiral Ackbar steps up and starts explaining their battle plan and everything. Her acting, like, just to the side of him, looking at him, and I like to look at actors sometimes and think of this, like, she's looking at a guy in a costume here.
Right.
And she is acting her butt off because the looks on her faces, she's so dead serious, and because she's just given that, like, really dire information about
right.
people giving their lives. And now she's standing next to him and she's just got these looks on her faces like, yeah. Uh-huh.
Well,
you gotta pay attention to it. She's doing such a good job, and she's like, she's not off camera,
she's
but she's not
her,
the main.
Acting her butt off, huh?
She's acting her butt off, but she's not, she has no lines, and it's all, but the lines that are being given by, like, this guy in a suit.
Right, this puppet.
You know,
yeah.
this puppet, and she's so dead on and dead serious watching what he's saying. I was watching it so intent, watching her more than Ackbar. Obviously,
right.
Why am I gonna watch Ackbar? It's his lips moving on a puppet.
Right.
But
well,
yeah.
Thinking about it, at least back then there was a guy in a suit standing there. If you were doing it nowadays, she'd just
right.
be staring at a screen. There wouldn't be anybody there.
Yeah,
she'd be acting
exactly.
to a tennis ball, basically, you know, because
yeah.
that's all they're doing.
Yeah.
So.
But she does. She does a really good job in that scene off camera. Uh-huh. Not off camera, like I said.
But
she
like,
just,
yeah, off to
she
I'll
steps
have to
aside
pay, yeah.
and she's aside and she's like, uh-huh.
Never really paid that much attention to her. But
yeah,
I'll,
it's really
I'll
good.
Look at it.
Really good. All right. Any final words?
No.
We are done with the original trilogy.
We are.
Next month, we move on to the final trilogy.
Yeah, Force Awakens.
I'm actually looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to that. I'm looking, and Jedi, Last
the
Jedi.
Last Jedi. Those
yeah,
are two
Jedi.
That I'll have to actually watch again before we talk about them. Like, you know, another peek behind the curtain is I haven't watched any of these three movies that, you know, in a few months. So I just
I
just know
I
them well enough.
Them all the
well,
time.
I mean, I like watching them too, but I watched them you know, a few months ago when I got those despecialized editions, so I didn't feel like needed to watch them again this week just to talk about them. But yeah, Force Awakens, I haven't seen it nearly as many times as I saw these movies. So
yeah, I was thinking we should squeeze Rogue One in too if we have time.
Well, I mean, we have any time we want to have. It's up to us to write the schedule. So it's just whether you want
to. I'll have to talk to our
producer.
Just
whether we want to go too Star Wars heavy.
Yeah. Well, we're building up to.
We're already going to do two movies.
Not even the end.
Well, we're going to have to do two movies in December. So if we do Rogue
One,
we'll have to do.
The one that comes out, yeah.
We'll have to do two in November as well. So. Or before the end of October. Hey, I mean, I'm fine with it. You just have to write the schedule. I just do what you tell me to do, so I just show up and talk.
All right, what do we got coming out on Wednesday?
So it looks like we've got Amazing Mary Jane number one comes out this week. I've been looking forward to that one, so I can't wait to read that. Batman Superman number three, also really looking forward to reading that. You know, pretty good cliffhanger at the end of number two there. Also, Batman Curse of the White Knight, number four, comes out. Another one that I've been enjoying quite a bit. Although not as much as I liked the first. This is Curse of the White Knight, and I guess the first one was just White Knight. I didn't like this one quite as much, but it's still been pretty good. And then we get Marauders, number one, so kind of like the next
Dawn X-Men
of
X. Book.
Yeah, the next X-Men book.
Part of the Dawn of X series.
So that's it as far as, I mean, there's some other books, obviously, but those are the main ones I'd be looking forward to.
All right, cool. All righty then. So that's it for tonight. Any questions, comments, you could get a rock. Hit us up on Twitter at @thebrightside_chat. Email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. And you could win if you... If you spark a conversation, you could win a rock.
You could
win a green rock.
Yeah. It's a rock, TJ.
Yeah.
A green rock. It's a big pile of melted army men.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. That was a pretty funny tweet. Like, I know a pile of army men, and it didn't look like that.
Yeah, it's funny because I probably had a pile of melted army men somewhere when I was
a kid.
I've
never melted my army men.
No.
I painted them.
Yeah. Sometimes they just melted. They melted and stuck to the sidewalk if you left them out in the summertime.
All right. You ready to get out of here?
Yeah.
All right. I will see you on... Well, I'll see you Wednesday night. Wednesday. See everybody on Thursday.
All right. Take care.
Hey, Fred.
Wow.
What?
Well, this has nothing to do with Star Wars, but I'm looking at the budgets. They've got an article with the budgets for the Disney Plus Marvel shows, and, you know, we kind of talked about how a season of one of these shows would rival, like, the budget for Endgame. I'm not lying. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, WandaVision, and Hawkeye have as much as $25 million per episode budget. So... that's a couple $100 million a show. And the Mandalorian is said to cost $15 million an episode. So yeah, if it's 10 episode season, that's $150 million bucks. That's a whole movie. So
yeah, but the length of it is more than a movie.
Well, yeah, it is. But at one point,
you know,
I remember
I mean?
Saying
if,
that
if it's 10 episodes, that's 5 movies.
Right.
For
$150 million. But I remember, but I said at one point that a season's budget would rival like a big budget movie,
right?
And
right,
you know, it's you kind of scoffed at me a little bit, and I'm showing you that it's
But I was thinking an episode would rival a movie.
No,
that's what I was saying. I'm like, but now if you look at that as like
right again, it's
like
it's
two
10
episodes
hours worth
is a movie. Right. That's a $30 million movie, which that's not a very big budget for a Marvel. Movie.
No, but
you know
as
I mean?
A, like I said, a season
like
of this show
10%.
It rivals like not necessarily Endgame, but it rivals like Captain Marvel or something like
that. Yeah, $200 million is a big budget.
But that's a
lot. Actually, $200 million now isn't even considered big anymore.
No.
You know what I mean?
It's
like
just modest.
I remember like Shazam was under 200. I think Aquaman was under 200. And everybody's like, because people were talking like, oh, wow, they, you know, for a big budget movie, and they're like, that wasn't even 200 million.
Yeah.
Oh, really? So it's like.
But yeah, know. Yeah, but a 10 episode season, again, yeah, you're looking at $250 yeah. million. Dollars. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But that's how you know they're going to be good. Like I said, they're going to be good.
Well, you got a better shot of it being good anyways.
Well, that's true. You know, shit.
Language.
The writing is still shit.
Language.
The writing. It yeah. doesn't yeah. make it good.
You can put lipstick on a pig. It's still right. a pig.
Right. All right. Let's get back into this.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.
All right. What do we got coming out this week?
I don't know. I should know by now that you're going to ask me that every week.
You should.
I need to start putting it in my show notes because I don't know. Let me pull out my invoice and see.
All right. You want me to lead into that again?
Yeah.
All right. What do we got coming out on Wednesday?
So it looks like we've got...